Two games this week, the defeat to Walsall and a draw at Newport. Rob Murray labelled it a poor performance. We look tired and lacklustre with four goals conceded. Joe Cosby says we can rinse and repeat the same excuses from last month. No depth, set up wrong, bad referee. Lots of comments on the squad depth. Craig Fisher thinks the players that can play are shattered. They're trying hard, they're just completely done in. Mark Birtles thinks it would be a shame if the squad depth means we fall off now. Steve Bennett says it's square pegs and round holes, with essentially 11 players to pick. And Shedview says the players are trying, it's just there's only 11 of them at the moment. Dave Gallagher is amazed we're still in the playoffs. We need those January signings. Captain Britton says we've hit a wall, both physically and mentally, and we need some January investment or else we'll drop like a stone. Reverend Jim agrees with this. Try for some January recruits, even if the treatment room miraculously empties. Paul Taylor says no win in six, we've hit the buffers. And Charles says it was boring, almost as bad as Stockport last year. Kev O'Connell says he's counted six out at the minute. These were the games we were edging at the start of the season, but we can't expect more from them. James says it feels like a chore going at the moment. Another referee spoiling the game. On to Friday night at Newport. Chris Mason says that draw stops the rot, but we need to bring in an experienced goalkeeper in January. Bringing back the good times says that's a good point. Beat Bradford, and that's four good points from two games. Timothy Dempsey, meanwhile, says it's a terrible result. A draw is okay, but this was not an improvement. Darren Stevens says this was a missed opportunity for Crewe after going ahead, a bit like Sutton away in November. Paul Gregory agrees with this. Their goal came from nowhere when we were in control. Adam Turner says let's stop the negativity. A point at Newport is always good, regardless of circumstances. And this side is decimated. Another positive is the improvement in Lewis Billington. Phil says, imagine being offered 40 points before the season started. Bodies returning, the window opening, enjoy the ride. Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. We've got two more games to go over from the festive period. 1 point from those two games. To go through the Boxing Day defeat at Walsall and the Friday night draw at Newport, we have got Steve Hatton. Hello, Steve.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back. Thank you.
Trevor Griffiths. Hello, Trev.
Hi, everybody.
And Graham Miles. Hello, Graham.
Hi, everyone.
Trevor, I'm going to start somewhere I don't normally start, and that is with the crowd. To get 800 at Walsall on Boxing Day is a fantastic achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would imagine there'd have been a few more, but illness is rocking around the town. So, yeah, it's excellent. And it was... we'll go into the game, won't we? So, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, well, let's go into the game then. I'm not sure how you guys felt, but I'm going to give you my summary and then you could sort of tell me where I'm wrong and where I'm right. Watching this one on my TV, I thought this was a really poor game. I thought Walsall were bang average. I thought Crewe were worse. And I thought the referee was a lunatic. Steve, have I summed that up correctly or have I got that wrong?
I think we can probably finish the roundup on Walsall now because I think you've done that already. Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. They were a little bit stronger and a little bit more physical. And that seemed to be the difference between two middling teams. And if I'm honest, it reminded me of last year's 2-0 defeat at Stockport on Boxing Day when we I don't think we were quite as bad as that. But this was the most, I think, dispirited I've felt in the recent run of poor form. The Barrow game, there were some positives from that. And I thought if that dickhead hadn't have made that ridiculous dive, that changed the game there. But this game, I just felt the lowest I've felt after this recent run of defeats because there was so little to take from it. And yeah, you're right. The referee was a complete lunatic because as far as I'm concerned, Hutchinson should have gone in that first half because Joe White wriggled past him, beat him all ends up. He pulled him back and he gave Joe White the foul, didn't he? He said that he'd committed the foul instead. So, yeah, I think you've summed it up quite nicely.
Graham, are you quite as down as Steve, or were there some positives out of the game for you?
No, I pretty much agree with everything that's already been said. I just thought it was two middle-of-the-road second division teams playing on Boxing Day. We looked like the players just looked tired, to be honest. I know there's illness going around, which explains a lot of it. But I was quite dispirited leaving the game as well. Yeah.
I think, Trev, this is probably something that we've been talking about for a while. We've just mentioned illness, injury, etc. The really stretched squad. I think this one was just too many players playing in positions that are not their positions to be playing in, just out of necessity, isn't it?
Yeah, and you come up with a system and then you have to fit these square pegs in the round holes, and it doesn't work, really. You know, players play best in the best position, but you're just plugging gaps all the time. And going back to the game, I mean, once it went 1-0, the game was over. We were no threat whatsoever. So, yeah, it was... Glad it was only Walsall and a lot of long trip back from somewhere 300 miles away, because it would have been really depressing.
Yeah, Steve, two of the ones I picked out there on that point of players not playing in their position. I think Rio, one of his strengths this year is his crossing. So putting him in centre midfield isn't particularly useful for that. And Aaron Rowe, one of his weaknesses that I think is his tracking back and his defending. So again, it's not ideal having him in at right back, is it?
No. I think, like Trev said, it's square pegs, round holes. And I think it was a game too far, really. And you could almost see that, you know, those same 11, 12 players who've been playing recently, it all seemed to catch up with them. Although I've been quite down on the team, I think I find it hard to be too critical, because there's just nothing in that midfield. There was, and that's no disrespect to Rio, but as you said, he's by trade a fullback. And without the players who are missing, there was no real guile or craft in there. And it's not surprising we struggle to create, even though we've got a nearly full strength forward line. There's nothing in midfield to give them the ammunition. However, I would say the back line, they're almost intact, really. That's almost a first choice back line. And we've allowed two really poor goals from set pieces to be our undoing, when we should really be scraping a 0-0 from that game.
Yeah, this is a point I did want to make. You know, we're back to our old favourite goalkeepers. Tom Booth, he's had a handful of appearances last season. I think this is his second appearance this season in the league. Graham, I think without going too hard in on him, he's got to not get pinned down for both of those goals, really, hasn't he?
He has, but the first goal, Courtney was on the post marking the player who scored, and the player just moved a yard away from Courtney. Courtney stayed on the post and it left him unmarked. I believe Courtney should have gone with him, and that would have helped Tom out a bit more. So that would explain second goal. And yes, he could have come and attacked the ball more, but he did that on the second goal. And, well, there's nothing much he could do, really. If he'd been stayed on his line, would he have saved it? Possibly. But I wasn't too down on him for those goals. I think we've conceded a lot worse this year.
So are you happy to carry on with Tom Booth then, if until someone else comes in, or if necessary for the rest of the season?
I would look for somebody else to come in, but I don't believe that Lieber will keep him in for the rest of the season. If we don't get another keeper in, I believe Harvey Davis will be back in, and I don't believe that's the answer. So a goalkeeper is one of the three positions I believe we need urgently.
I don't really blame either keeper, to be honest. I don't think either of them are good enough. I blame the present manager of Grimsby for this situation, because if he hadn't handed a ridiculous contract to someone who's now warming a bench up in Scotland, none of this situation would have happened. Because I would imagine he's probably not a top earner, our friend over the border, but he's probably doing reasonably well. And if he wasn't around, maybe we could have afforded to bring in a permanent number one, rather than relying on loans and an untried youth keeper.
How many more years do we have with Richards?
Is he gone in the summer?
It's got to be close.
You normally know this stuff.
Yeah, I thought he's. This is his last year.
But you never know these days with these contracts. We don't really get to fully see them.
All right, Trev, whilst I'm just with you, I think I'll sort of move on from the Warsaw game, but just finish with the fact that, you know, Lee Bell felt the need to come over to talk to the fans at the end. And one of the things that he said was that he'd had 8 players in training over the week. So just to go back to a point Steve made about 5 minutes ago about just feeling a bit despondent, but there's not really anyone to blame, or it's hard to find anyone to blame for this. It's just, in my understanding at least, it's a circumstance or a series of circumstances that have just led us to this quite depressing, despondent part of the season, I think.
Yeah, you can't do anything when people get injuries, long-term, short-term, and people get ill. You know, it's out of your control. Years ago, you could go in the transfer market. Now you've got windows. You have to do the best you can till the windows open. I'm not in favour of transfer windows, by the way. But it is what it is, and you can't do anything about it. The young lads, the 18s and, in inverted commas, 21s, they're playing too much football anyway, because the 18s are playing in the 21s. The others are filling our bench, and they're not really going to get many minutes. So it is difficult. I don't think there's anything you can do about it. You just hope, I suppose, that you can get odd points here and there until you can do something about it.
At the start of the season, even though we got all these injuries, would we have taken where we are now at the start of the season? And I definitely would.
I'd agree, Graham. I think if you'd have said to me, you'd be hovering just outside the playoffs, bearing in mind all the predictions of all the pundits and so on at the start of the year, I'd have taken that. Particularly bearing in mind we have got the majority of these players, with the exception of Powell, obviously, who are going to return at some point and will make us infinitely stronger. And I think if we can just cling on until we get some reinforcements, we can't complain too much.
I think that is key to remember. You know, if we sort of slightly jump ahead to the fact that we know what the Newport result is and we are just outside the playoffs now, even that at this stage would be something that we take. I think the problem at the moment, though, and you guys are more than welcome to disagree, is trajectory. And I think at the moment our trajectory is only going one way. We are struggling to pick up points. We'll move on to the Newport game, where we did pick up a point. Trevor and Graham, you both made the journey. So well done for jumping on this call this early in the morning after a Friday night in South Wales. From my memory, I didn't really think Newport was a great place to go and watch a game of football. Has it changed in the recent years?
No. There's not really any atmosphere in the place because it's too open, two open ends. Their fans are, we're stuck in one corner. Their fans who make the noise are on the other side. No, it's not a football stadium.
Yeah, it's definitely not a football stadium. All I would say is the pitch was a lot better than it has been in recent years. Apart from that, it's not a great evening out.
Now, similar again to what we've just discussed with the Warsaw game, the midfield's made up, I think you could say, definitely Rio's been there, and then Luke Offord is playing sort of in that deep midfield role. So we've got two defenders and then Joe White. I saw quite a few people saying online that it was a scrappy first half. We were going long too often. I thought that it was a bit better than that. I thought we were trying to get White on the ball. I thought the others were trying to play it. But again, Steve, I did think the failure was getting the ball too and then to make it stick with CBR.
I think we played more football in the first half in that game than we have done in recent matches. I think having Offord in there helped. Obviously, it's still a bit of a makeshift midfield, and we haven't quite got the guile and craft you've had with Tabiner, Powell, and even Connor Thomas in there, to be fair. But yeah, I thought there was definitely more attempts to get the ball down and play, but it just seemed to crumble at the final third. which then invariably led to the ball going backwards. And then we did have, you know, there were a number of hoofs forward, which again, I understand. We haven't really got the guile to fully play our way through the midfield. And although we can kind of get it down and play to a certain extent, we haven't quite got that killer instinct to thread that final ball through. Joe White tried it a few times, didn't quite come off for him, but I think he was a bit off colour last night. He's probably still struggling with the illness. But there was more football, but I still think there was some frustrating hoofs forward, and it wouldn't stick with CBR because he had those three-man mountains around him. But I can't be too critical because I think that's a product of where we're at, really.
Yeah, I'd echo them thoughts. I thought we edged the first half. We had two wide men, but we couldn't get the ball to long enough. And Rowe didn't really want to go outside. He kept on wanting to come inside when he got the ball. But yeah, I was fine with the first half. I thought we edged the first half. I thought we were just the better side.
I thought we were quite good the first 20 minutes. We tried to pass it a bit more than we have done in recent games. When that didn't work, that's when we started sending it long. And again, first part of the second half, I thought we were okay as well. It's just when that doesn't work, then we start sending it the long ball, which just wasn't working.
I come back to Rowe, who, if I'm honest, I thought had showed real promise. Obviously, he got the two goals at Derby. But last night, he began to increasingly remind me a bit of Lachlan Brook, in that a lot of his good work and his kind of control and his flicks and beating a man were in areas that didn't hurt the opposition. And when he was in the final third, he just didn't seem to have the ability to create anything other than a speculative shot. And I just thought he seems to be turning into this season's Brook, in my opinion.
Interesting, yeah. I'd agree with that. I thought, to be fair, we should have scored. Zach Williams should have scored in the first half. I didn't realise, you know, I've looked back at it, and he should definitely score from the back post header. He'd got all the goal to aim at, and the keeper kind of just put his hand up and saves it. Because I don't remember them having a shot on target in the first half. I might be wrong, but I didn't think they threatened at all. I thought we held them comfortably. I thought Mickey was good. I thought that was Zach Williams' best game up until he got injured. I thought he was excellent. Lewis Billington was very good. Defensively, we were fine and in first half. And I think, looking back, we should have gone in 1-0 up.
I believe they only had two shots on target throughout the game, from my memory. One was a goal and one was a reasonable save where he put his hand up, strong arm, and that was it. So defence did very well. Zach Williams, I would agree, that was his best game by far. But he does look like he's done the same ankle again.
Listening to Lee Bell after the match, I think it's the other ankle, isn't it? So I don't think it's as bad as they first feared.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was just going to make that point about that chance that Trevor's just made. I would say it was the best chance of the first half by quite a long way. It was quite a nice bit of play, actually, between Long and White, and then a lovely floated ball by Billington. I agree, Trevor. Having watched it back this morning, I'm struggling to see how it doesn't go in, because he's a lot closer than I thought he was. And it's just anywhere but the goalkeeper, and it's a goal.
Yeah, that's what I've certainly seen it back. Because where we were sat, that was the furthest most point away in the game. Because we're in the opposite corner, if you like. And I thought he'd climbed over the man from where I was sat. But obviously, he did really well. And I didn't realise how close it was. It was literally 3 yards, wasn't it? And like you say, it was a better chance than I thought at the time.
I thought the referee was going to give a free kick because he was climbing over the player. But I'm sure we'll get onto the referee later, because I thought he had a shocker.
That seems to be a recurring theme at the moment, that sentence. Okay, let's get into the second half then. Steve, I've written down here that this game is basically a mini essay, or, you know, a short video on the career of Chris Long. Went down injured, looked like he was struggling, came back on, shouted at his teammates a bit for not passing it to him, and then scored a goal.
Yeah, right place, right time. It's a bit of a scruffy goal, wasn't it, really? But the build-up was impressive. And Billington, who was excellent last night, particularly when he was on the ball, I thought was really impressive. great ball through to CBR. And it's that thing with centre forwards in that they're actually quite good at putting crosses in, because invariably they know exactly where they would want the ball to be. I remember Shearer was always a great crosser of the ball. And he's put it in that kind of corridor of uncertainty. And I think it's nearly an own goal. Keeper saves it. And Long is on point to sort of stick it in from 2 yards and celebrate like he's sort of smashed one from 25 yards into the top corner, which I always like.
I thought their defender did his best to score. The keeper made a good save from his own defender. But Long was in the... He's a centre-forward and he's a goal scorer and he knows where to be. He was just in the perfect position. As soon as it come out, bang, goal. You know, yard out, we'll have that. But yeah, the cross from Richardson was good. Actually, he improved us, because in the first half, he couldn't get it to stick. But second half, he suddenly got hold of the ball a little bit and it helped us. So we were able to stretch him. And I thought, like you say, Billiton's ball out to him and the cross was perfect. And I think, right, if you're going to do anything, you've got to have players like Long, goal scorers, natural goal scorers who can get in the 6 yard box. And we don't have enough of them.
And I think that's the CBR that we want to see more often, because I actually find him an incredibly frustrating player, because he isn't just a hold-up merchant. You know, like his goal at Sutton showed, he's actually got a fair bit about him. But sometimes I don't get him. He just seems to strut around and not put the shift in that someone like Nevitt does. And yet in that second half, like Trev said, he was the difference. And I just find him incredibly frustrating at times.
Maybe that's why he's playing in League Two.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about that then, CBR, for a second then? Because I genuinely think we, as a podcast, we talk about coaches at Crewe improving players and making them better. But I genuinely think that CBR's best spell for us was right when he signed for us at the start of his, start of his career here last year. And I don't think he's anywhere near that now.
Personally, I don't think he's properly recovered from that injury he had. He doesn't seem the player he was since that injury.
I don't know. I mean, I had the wife shouting next to me in the first half, get him off. So I don't know if she was right or not. But he is frustrating because, as you can see, he's got it. Have we improved him? It's difficult because everybody wants him to run around, whether he's nursing his hamstring. It always seems to me as if he's got that little pull in him. I don't, it's just me, but I think if we get enough service into the box, he will score goals. He is a good, he can score all sorts of goals. So I persevere with him.
I don't think he's ever, even when he's been fully fit, he's ever raced around and chased down and pressured as much as a Nevitt would do, for example. I don't think he's got that in his locker. And I think, actually, if you look at the two of them and go, actually, who's improved most with the coaching here? I think Mark made this point on the pod the other week. Nevitt has come on leaps and bounds, I think, with the coaching that he's had here. Whereas CBR, as you say, probably the same player as when he got here, really.
Yeah, so one of the things that I think I noticed with this one is, if you looked at the team lineup, it was getting back to where we want it to be. You know, we had first-choice defence back with Luke Offord's suspension finishing, although he played in midfield. We had Chris Long starting. We had Elliot Nevitt back on the bench. We actually had two other players other than Nevitt, in Cooney and Tracy, who are first-team regulars, not youth players, making up the bench. I think this is probably, Graham, as good as it's going to get at the moment. The obvious problem with that is the midfield. We're still missing six centre midfielders out injured. If you look at the ones that we're missing, Powell and Tabana, Colquhet and Thomas, and then obviously Lunt and Holacek as well. That's the problem, isn't it, for us at the moment?
It is. It's a lack of quality in the creativity in the team. That's where we are really struggling. We also are missing Thomas too. Help possibly mop things up a bit more. I do wonder whether we would have conceded that goal yesterday if Thomas was playing. I think he might have just filled the hole in where the player ran through. So we are missing him, but it's creativity all through the team that we're missing. But any team would struggle if you took five or six midfielders out of the team.
That is a point, Graham. We've not actually talked about the Newport goal yet, which seems like a bit of an oversight. Trev, I'm going to shock you. I'm going to shock everyone listening. There's no way Tom Booth gets blamed for this one. It's just a sloppy goal. Two or three crew players you could point a finger at, but not the goalkeeper this time.
No, he had no chance, did he? Because the lad was, he had a free shot on goal. It shouldn't get there, should it? Somebody should just block him. The ball's bouncing about. It was a shocking goal from a defensive point because they never really threatened. Their entries into our penalty area were few and far between of any quality. And that wasn't quality neither. It was awful. Nobody took responsibility just to put the foot through the ball or get a block. And to be fair, the lad come in and he slotted it well. Yeah, the goalkeeper's no chance with that.
So many dark-coloured shirts there, not actually doing anything and just letting the ball roll and no one taking responsibility.
All right, Graham, I'm going to come back to you. You mentioned earlier that we were going to get onto the referee. That feels like you've got something that you want to sort of add about the referee's performance. It does feel like it's becoming a recurring theme. What did you make of last night or Friday night?
Well, for a start, I thought there should have been two penalties. But we'll come on to them in a minute. I thought that the player fouled Zach Williams four times in that first half without getting booked. And then he dived in, the same player dived in on Long. And again, he just didn't get booked. The ref just didn't seem to have any control. For the penalties, I believe, and it's difficult because Trevor said we were in the corner far away. I believe there was a handball by one of the crew defenders in about the 70th minute where one shot was hit and we blocked it. I would have been screaming for a penalty that. And then even more in the injury time, their keepers wiped out Mickey. He went for header. He got there first and he basically hit him in the nose. And he's wiped out Mickey. And Mickey came over at the end of the game and his nose, you could see where he's been hit and how he never gave a penalty for that. I don't know. And we had a better view of that. So I wasn't very happy. Just the whole performance though. But the refs just seem to be getting worse this year.
I think he was one of those referees that had very much the let's let the game flow. But I agree that the fouls on Zach and then the guy kicking the ball at him when he's on the floor, how you don't get a yellow card for that was just was ridiculous. But then, yeah, he's wiped him out. Steve, I don't know whether you agree, but it seemed to me like the referee thought it was the easiest decision to make was to give the free kick for the goalkeeper rather than the penalty against him.
In those situations, the keeper always gets the favour, doesn't he? He very, very rarely will the keeper be penalised. And when there's a collision like that, he just gives a free kick. We know they're overprotected. Ironically, actually, I remember the home game against Newport when Harvey Davis wasn't overprotected and they got a goal from battering the goalkeeper. And I think he didn't quite catch it. But yeah, I agree. He let everything go. And just seemed intent on just turning a blind eye to all the fouls and things, and there should have been arguably multiple bookings, but goalkeeper's an overprotected species.
The referee actually is one of those with the least bookings per game. I think he's averages 2 point something a game, which is quite low. So he is one of those that other referees will give fouls, he doesn't necessarily. And he doesn't necessarily think every foul's a booking, which I think these days everybody thinks, oh, that's a booking. Well, it's a contact sport. You can't, you know. I mean, Zach Williams got booked for a foul, which I didn't think was a foul. I thought he'd won the ball. And he booked Zach Williams for that. Going back to the one at the end, I think the keeper knew, and that's why he went down. I think he thought, oh, if I go down now, the ref will give us.
He stayed down because he broke his hand on Mickey's nose, from what I could see.
To go back to Trev's point, that Zach Williams yellow card was ridiculous. He won the ball so cleanly. And yeah, okay, there was a slight follow through, but he won the ball cleanly. And I think if that's a yellow card, what's going on? Yeah. How would Darren Carr have survived nowadays?
it was just a committed challenge that he went through, and he won the ball very cleanly. We didn't get that at the time. And I don't want players constantly booking. You know, you've got to let the game flow. But when you have four or five challenges in one half on the same player, that's when I think the ref has to step in.
Right. So about 5-10 minutes ago, I said that the crew team is getting back to first choice, with the obvious exception being centre mid. Next game is next year, New Year's Day. Trevor, is there a possibility we might be two men down by the time the transfer window opens in January?
Oh, in what respects, Stu?
That they might be either sold on or recalled by their parent club.
Well, I don't think Joe White's recall is till the 14th of Jan. I think he's still available till the 14th. And if you were talking about a centre-half going to Blackburn, I would think not at the moment. I think they'll wait until to see if anybody else comes in. And that's a personal opinion.
When you say someone, they'll wait and see, is that Connor and his representatives, whoever they might be, not the club?
Yeah. Well, the club has no say, doesn't it? Once they've released this Mr. Artel's clauses, then they can speak to whoever they want. But yeah, I would say his agent's going to say, well, see if anybody else comes in. You don't take the first offer, do you? You'd be crackers. You know, they could be somewhere else that's better. And they're not actually on a good run, are they, Blackburn? And they're sliding down the table quicker than we are. So he's got to weigh his options up, hasn't he? He can talk to whoever he wants. If as soon as they hit the 500,000, you know, clause, which is, you know, it's nothing, is it, in this day and age, 500,000? Yeah, so I would imagine they'd wait a little bit. So I can't see us losing them two in the first 2 weeks.
Steve, it does sound, though, like they are on their way out. I don't want to be too negative, but I think that might be it in terms of us and promotion this year. Just for the fact that we've lost so many players, injury, illness, whatever. And then these are two of the better players right now. I just don't think we can cope with it. Is that me being too negative?
I actually think I don't want to lose Conor O'Riordan, particularly for £500,000, because, you know, he's 6'4", he can head it, he's reasonably quick, he's a footballer. He's arguably, in my opinion, the best centre-half we have produced since Steve Foster. And to lose him for £500,000 is an absolute crime. And again, the responsibility lies with the Grimsby manager. I don't want to talk any more about that. But having said that, we've got Billington, who's stepped up. And it's maybe the crew way is that, okay, we'll lose O'Riordan. But actually, does that open the door for Billington to come back in the team, who played really, really well last night? So I think we can probably cope with the loss of O'Riordan a little bit easier. Losing Joe White really irritates me, because it just seems really, really petty by Newcastle. What difference does the percentage of wage that's allegedly Stockport, probably out there anyway, isn't it, are going to pay for him? What difference would it make to them with all their dirty sports washing money? Absolutely nothing. And it's just petty by Stockport just to stockpile another player to chuck in. And he's not going to get much game time there. And I'd argue, development-wise, with the coaching at Crewe, he's probably going to become a better player. So it seems a bit short-sighted by Newcastle to send him to Stockport.
You wouldn't argue with that.
That's essentially my argument. I was talking to a friend about this in the week. I said, Joe White's had two loan spells before this one. Both of them were not successful. You know, looking at the comments from the players, sorry, the fans of the clubs where he was. This one, I think you would argue, is a success. We're playing as a club with one midfielder at the moment. That's him. So he is going to be on the pitch as much as he possibly can. At Stockport, he's not going to be playing. He's going to be a sub, maybe the last 5-10 minutes. It just makes no sense. And then the only reason it would make sense is if Stockport had blown us out the water money-wise. But as you say, Steve, if Newcastle aren't worried about what Joe White's wages are, then all of this money, you know, it just doesn't exist in the way that we're told it does. It's just ludicrous. But yeah, I think you are completely right. It's ludicrous by Newcastle, and it's also ludicrous by Stockport as well. And if Joe White, I think if he had any say in it, I think he'd stay with us, but I don't think he does.
I would agree with the last comment, Stuart. I believe that Joe White would want to stay. He seems happy, settled with the team. But also, I do believe part of a loan, they can recall him at any time, so they don't necessarily have to wait till the 14th of January. So we might be, in the next couple of days, hearing something about that.
It's just, it's what's really frustrating is this has happened 2 years in a row now. You know, last year, our best player, I'd say by quite some distance, was Arthur Conquer in the first half of the season, gets taken away. And fair play, you know, you're going off to Sturm Graz in the Austrian top division. That is a bit of a promotion on League Two football, as much as we might not want to say it. But it does, Steve, show us that we are very much only at the mercy of the clubs that we get these players from, aren't we?
And it's been this way for a long while, hasn't it? I remember we lost, didn't we lose Uche back when he was half decent. He got recalled and went off somewhere else. And that's always the danger of someone doing really well on loan. Their parent club could recall them and then say, okay, you proved yourself here, move on to a club at a higher level, see if you can prove yourself there. But again, this one with Joe White, I don't wish to beat the drum again, doesn't really seem to about his development as a player, just seems to be a financially driven decision, because I don't know what the coaching's like at Stockport, but I would imagine if I'm Newcastle looking from the outside in and thinking, where's this kid going to get the best quality coaching to improve him as a player? It's going to be at Crewe.
Yeah, you're at the mercy, and a little bit at the mercy of the agents as well, because the agents are the ones that, you know, are doing it all in the background. Well, we can get you this and we can get you that. And this, you know, it is, you know, we are open to the sharks in the water, and it makes it really difficult. And it's difficult to get permanent players in, loan players in, because the pool is massive. You don't realise how many clubs have under 23 players that are doing nothing, that need to get out and play. And sometimes if an agent doesn't fancy you, or he doesn't fancy your manager, you can forget it. If they don't get on with the manager, you won't get a loan off them. So I don't know. I'm not sure the hierarchy at Newcastle know who Joe White is. Never mind whether he's going to Stockport or not.
Realistically, he isn't going to get into Newcastle team. So all they must be looking for is what money they can get out of him now. You can't even see him being the squad. Well, I can't anyway.
Well, I think that with their injury crisis, he would have been close to their bench the last few weeks if he hadn't been on loan. But yeah, he won't play for Newcastle, I wouldn't imagine, when they're at full strength for another 12 months at least. Or because they've given him a 3-year contract, so they obviously rate him. Else he wouldn't have done that, because it wouldn't make any sense. So he might play for them one day. So they've got to do what's best for Newcastle, but I'm not sure that this deal with Stockport is a done deal.
All right, then. Next, we will turn our attention to the games coming up this week. New Year's Day sees Bradford travelling to South Cheshire. Steve, last week I said Newport were our first opportunity to do the double this season. Bradford are the first team with the chance to do the double over us.
Yeah, it was a strange 1-0 defeat up there, wasn't it? I think it was our first defeat of the season, I want to say. But I believe that since they've appointed Graham Alexander, I think they're on a decent run. And I think you spoke earlier about our trajectory being downward. Bradford's trajectory is presently going upwards. So I would anticipate a difficult game. There's a bit of me that's a bit disappointed that Mark Hughes still isn't the manager, because I'd love to see that rematch between him and Chris Long. And obviously, if Mark Hughes is manager, they might still be rubbish as well. But the Alexander factor does seem to have boosted them a little bit. And obviously, there's going to be a big following. And with, like we've mentioned so many times on this pod, with the team in the state it is, it's going to be a really tough game, I think.
Yeah, Graham, they are in good form at the moment, aren't they? Sort of the opposite of what Crewe are doing with the results recently. A 0-0 with Stockport on Friday.
Yeah, as you say, they're on the upward trajectory. We aren't. The game at their place, it was just an awful game, as was the season before, to be honest. But that was different with Mark Hughes being the manager. I believe this is going to be a very tough afternoon.
I'm going to say something. I think we can beat Alexander's team twice. We beat him for MK Dons, and I think we'll beat Bradford.
Lovely, Trev. Gone early with your prediction, but I'm loving the enthusiasm. Trev, are we expecting anyone back with this one, or are we, you know, still the same? It's not that big of a turnaround. Friday night, Monday afternoon. Zach Williams probably gone as well.
Yeah, it depends how bad the Zach one is. Neville will be a little bit better in himself after his illness, so he'll be two days longer. I would imagine Chris Long will be fine. I wouldn't envisage many changes. I don't think anybody else of the other players will be back. It'll be just whether it's Zach Williams is, and what that creates is a problem at left back or in midfield, because you could actually go with, just thinking about it, Cooney could come in and Billington could go into midfield, and Rio ends up back at left back. That might be the option, because midfield players, we haven't got any, have we? Simple as that. So,
and second half, last night when Billington stepped into midfield, he did okay, didn't he? He did look good on the ball and looked impressive.
It's also how Joe White's going to feel as well, because after the game last night, when the players came over, he just couldn't stop coughing. Like, his chest didn't seem right. So, yes, hopefully a couple of days on, he'll be better. But he still seems to be struggling a lot.
All right, Trev, I think you've given us your result-wise. What was the score going to be on Monday?
2-0.
Lovely. Graham?
Head says 1-1. Heart, we always win. 1-0 to Crewe.
Great stuff. And Steve?
Jeez, I'm the party pooper here. 1-1.
All right. I spoke to Gareth to get the Bradford perspective on their season so far. Hi, Gareth. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Stuart. You well?
I'm all good, thank you. Gareth, I think the best place for us to start would be the game back in August. It ended in a 1-0 Bradford victory. What was the Bradford takeaway from that game? Do you remember?
Yeah, briefly, that we weren't playing very well at the time, and it was a victory that we needed because we hadn't started the season great. The fan base was a little bit split on whether Hughes should still be with us or whether he should have gone at the end of last season. And he needed results, and that was one of the few that we got. And it was quite a surprise, really, because obviously Crewe were playing quite well at the time and we hadn't started the season great. We hoped it would be a point that we'd sort of turn around a bit and kick on, but we just didn't. So it was a bit of a flash in the pan, really. I remember it being quite a tough game. Like I say, Crewe were doing well and we weren't, but a 1-0 victory was something we really needed at the time.
Okay, so it's been a while now. Obviously, we'll be playing in January. What's changed at Bradford since that game in August?
Oh, quite a lot, really. Things just got worse under Hughes, really. The football was dire. He was trying to play possession-based football, which obviously is all well and good, but I'm not sure if we didn't have the players to play it, but we weren't executing it very well. It just became a case of defenders passing the ball about at the back, not progressing the ball through the thirds. We weren't getting chances on goal. And the crowd just completely turned, which obviously you're probably aware happens quite frequently at Bradford anyway. But I think this time it was probably deserved. And Graham Alexander's come in. It's been a new broom, bit of a breath of fresh air, really. We're playing a lot more direct, but we're also a lot more solid at the back. A lot more pragmatic. The fans have taken to him. He seems to talk really well. It's really early days, but people are saying he reminds me a little bit of Phil Parkinson, who obviously has a bit of a legend at Bradford. So far, so good. He lost the first two games. We lost his first game at home to Barrow in the league. Arguably, we were unlucky to lose that game. We lost 2-1, having probably dominated the second half. And then we lost to Notts County away, and we were 4-0 down at half-time. And we'd been absolutely awful in that first half. He'd been playing 4-2-3-1. Which was the formation that Hughes had left us with. And he changed it to 3-5-2 in the second half. And we dominated the second half against Notts County. It finished 4-2. Like I say, we've been 4-0 down at half-time. Remarkably, we could have got a draw out of that game, the number of chances we missed in the second half. And we've not looked back, really. We've gone on a run. I think we're 7 unbeaten at the moment. We won 4 in the league. We won 2 in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. Oh, no, we're 8 unbeaten because then we've drawn the last 2 in the league. We drew with Morecambe on Boxing Day 2-2, having been 2-0 down. And then we drew last night at home to Stockport, who were obviously top of the league. They're probably the best side I've seen this season. But we matched them, really. I came away from that game feeling that we can compete at the top of League 2, which is the first time I've really felt that this season. Like I say, that we matched them and we probably had the best chance. Their keeper pulled off a blinding save from Cook in the second half. The fact that we've gone to 3-5-2 is a bit of a strange one, really, because Hughes tried that at the start of this season. We'd always played 4-2-3-1 throughout the whole of last season. He tried to go to 3-5-2 at the start of this season. It didn't work at all. So he went back to 4-2-3-1. That didn't work either. And then Graham Alexander's come in and changed it back to 3-5-2 again. And we looked like a different side. I think mainly it's the execution of how we're playing it. We'd like to say we're a lot more direct, a lot more pragmatic. And it seems to be working. And Bradford fans are buying into it at the moment, although it's only been a short period of time.
All right, then. Let's talk about a couple of the players that Bradford have got. I think the easy place to start is the one you've already mentioned, Andy Cook. He's not quite having the season he had last year, but he's still on 10 goals so far this year, which is some going. Is he still the main man or is there other players that are helping him out this year?
It's a difficult one, really. Like I said, we were playing 4-2-3-1 last year, so he was up there on his own and he really was the main man and he carried us to the playoffs in a way, him and Harry Lewis in goal. He's not started the season as well this year, but like you say, he's still on 10 goals, so he's still on for 20 if he carries on as he is. I think we had Verdane Oliver as his backup last year and we were able to take Cook out of the team when he needed a rest or sub him off late in games if he was starting to blow a little bit. And Verdane Oliver's been injured for 6 months and he's only just come back. And I think we've seen a bit of a new lease of life in Cook since Verdane Oliver came back, in that we're getting to sort of, like I say, sub him off late in games or rest him when we need to. There's a bit of competition there for him. Also, because we've gone to 2 up front, we're playing a lad called Tyler Smith up there with him. It's sort of the big man, little man type partnership. And Smith's really helped him. He's running the channels for him. And Cooks just seems to be a bit more of a threat than he was earlier in the season. He's starting to look a bit more like he was last year. He also, I'm being sort of speculating here, but I think he was carrying an injury earlier in the season. And I think it was a problem that we couldn't take him out of the side because Verdane Oliver was injured. But he got a bit of stick off fans, which was unbelievable considering the season he's had last year. And a lot of us were just like, what are you doing? Just leave him alone. And like I say, he's on for 20 goals this season. So hopefully he'll continue as he has done since Oliver came back and since Alexander came in. And he'll get those 20 goals.
Lovely. Thank you, Gareth. One final question then. What's the score going to be on New Year's Day?
It's a real tricky one because obviously, Christmas is, you're playing so many games in such a close space of time. Like I say, we were 6, we won 6 on the bounce and then we've drawn the last 2. So I think from our perspective, after a bruising encounter last night, the pitch was horrible, the conditions were horrendous. We were lucky that the game was on against Stockport, we all thought it'd be called off. It was a bruising encounter and it'll have taken a lot out of the players. So I think City would probably say, obviously they'd like to win, but I think going to Crewe, we're up there near the top of the division, we'd probably take a draw. Obviously, I know a crew on a bit of a sticky patch at the moment. I read somewhere last night.
We are.
Obviously, crew will probably be need the points as well, sort of recover their form a little bit. So I'd say a draw probably.
Thank you so much for your time, Gareth.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, following Monday's game, we're pretty much back on regular schedule of Saturday 3 p.m. again. A visit to Mansfield. Trevor, Bradford, I think, is going to be tough, but Mansfield, this is going to be one of the toughest games of the season, isn't it? Away at Mansfield.
Yeah. They're solid, aren't they? They're full of, you know, strong professionals. There's not many kids play for them. But reading between the lines, they didn't do very well on Friday. You know, I've looked at some of their fans' comments. They were at the best. Yeah, they're not a free-flowing football side, but they're very efficient. And if we can get anything out of the game, I'll be happy.
Is that pretty much your thoughts as well, Graham?
Yeah, Mansfield, to me, were the best team I've seen this year. And we've seen them all now, and Mansfield were the best team. And I still believe they will win the league.
Oh, That is, I'd say, not a normal take. I think most people have said Stockport have got this wrapped up. Steve, do you agree with Graham? I mean, I think really this has to be their season to go up. They've been on the cusp for a few years now. This looks like this is their best chance.
I'd dearly love it not to be their season, to be honest, because their inflated sense of importance does annoy me. But they're like you said, I think like Trev said, they're strong, they're packed full of experience. To me, they're a team midway between the basic effectiveness of Barrow and the effectiveness with some flair of Stockport, and they sit in between those two. In that I don't think they've got quite as much enterprise as Stockport, but they certainly got a bit more kind of footballing ability about them than Barrow have. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough because, again, like we've just alluded to, I don't think we're going to have many players back, and I think it could be quite a challenging afternoon. Although I think our record there in recent years has been okay. I don't think we've done too badly in our recent visits there, but I have a horrible feeling that might change.
Right. Okay. Steve, I'll stick with you then. Prediction?
Mansfield 2, Crewe 0.
Graham?
1-1.
And Trev?
Yeah, I'm gonna be positive and go 1-1.
All right. Not quite as positive as the Brebston results, but we'll take a 1-1 at their place. Right. I spoke to Clive from Mansfield Matters to get his take on their season so far. Hiya, Clive. Welcome back to the podcast.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Not a problem. Let's start with the game at Gresty Road, opening day of the season. Mansfield were 2-0 up. It ended 2-2 with Crewe coming back to get the draw. What was yours? What was the Mansfield fans' thoughts on the game?
It was a little bit early in the season, being the first game, to develop too much of a thought about where we stood. But we were disappointed not to take the points. We were 2-0 up deservedly. And then we had a player sent off for kicking one of your players into the stratosphere. And it just sort of fell apart a little bit. And you guys took advantage and came back. It was 2-2. I thought at the end of the day, it was probably a fair result.
The season's gone quite well since then, hasn't it, for Mansfield?
Yeah, without being superstars, we've hung in there. We've had too many draws in the early part of the season, but we've seemed to have conquered the draw propensity recently, and you know, picking up maximum points. We've only lost one game at Swindon. We should have won there. We threw it away. And generally speaking, I think, judging by the teams that we've seen Mansfield play, we're as good as anybody in this league.
So I guess that begs the question, is this the year that Mansfield are going to do it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we've had a better opportunity in recent times. And I think the squad we've got is good. We've had some horrendous injuries over the last couple of seasons. In fact, three or four key players this year, we were going to build the team around, and we lost all of them, two of them for season-long injuries and others for long-term recovery plans. So we've had to reshuffle things. But the arrival of Flint as a centre-back has enabled us to build the team slightly differently. And for the first time in several seasons, we've had a really good, solid centre pairing at the back.
I remember when we've spoken before, you've had a few, maybe doubts is the right word, about Clough as being the right man to do it. Does that mean right now he does have the full faith of the Mansfield fans?
I think, bar the usual moronic corner of the crowd, because we have one, I'm sure every club does, people accept that there is a plan behind what Clough's doing, and it is a build, and it's the third year of his build, and it seems to be moving forward. In fact, we're all starting to presume we're going to get promoted. And then the question is, will Clough be building again next time? Or is he going to, because his contract ends at the end of this season, or are we going to try a new manager? I would want to change managers at this point.
Okay, so let's talk about some players. The one I hear most often whenever I hear Mansfield mentioned is Davis Keeler-Dunn. Is he the main man, or is that putting other people in a position where they're not getting the credit that they possibly deserve?
He gets noticed because he's our leading goal scorer and he's got three names. But we're a team, and we can win with or without Keeler-Dunn. And he has his quiet games. He didn't play well last night by his own standards. In fact, the team didn't particularly perform well last night against Doncaster. But we don't rely on one player, and I think that's a reassuring fact. And we are scoring goals from everywhere when we do score. But the important thing is that, as well, is we're making loads of chances, which is something we haven't done in previous years. In fact, it's almost a criticism in that against Grimsby the other day, we made 39 chances to win 2-0. Now, you could argue that's really poor performance.
All right, Clive, one final question. What is the score going to be when Crewe travel to Mansfield on Saturday?
I think it'd be a squeaky one. I think it'd be 2-1 to the Stags.
All right, Clive, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Enjoy the game.
All right, then, to finish off this week, just two things. Firstly, I've mentioned it the last 2 weeks, but we're going to launch the Last Man Standing this week. So there's a bit of time before the 13th for everyone to get involved that wants to be. So please do look out for posts on Facebook and Twitter. It will have an email address as well that I'll put into this podcast's info that you can get in touch and put your £5 in. Take part. And like I say, half the money will go to you if you're the winner. Half the money will go to the women's team to help them out a little bit as well. So, yeah, please do take part. The more the merrier, the more the winnings. Steve, Trev, Graham, are you going to have a go at this?
Yes.
Yes, I'm all over it.
Yes, I'm going to do it, yes.
Don't think I'll be picking Crewe, though, as my team.
There's £15 straight off the bat. So there you go. Secondly, you'll be delighted to hear, hopefully, that we have a player interview coming out this Thursday. We sat down with Jack Powell the last couple of days, talked through his career, his time at Crewe so far, his hopes for the future, and obviously we got a little update on his injury. I genuinely thought it was a fascinating chat, one of the best ones that we've done. I certainly, now that I've spoken to him, can see why he's fitted in so well at Crewe. He's a real sort of scholar of the game. That is going to be out on Thursday, so do make sure you keep your eyes peeled for that one Thursday morning as well. So it's a double pod week. But for now, Steve, Graham and Trev, thank you so much.
No problem. You. Wishing all the listeners an happy and prosperous new year.
Thanks, Trev. Just one sentence ahead of me. Yeah, oh, sorry, happy mate. New year. Happy new year to all of you that are listening. We will be back on Thursday with that Jack Powell interview. Make sure you check that out. Until then, goodbye. Bomb, 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 bomb